Turn, if you would, to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. I want us to just look at a little bit of this passage. We're going to be looking at tonight at what does Jesus see? Now, a lot of times we look at people and we make judgment calls. There was a town in Poland that they were going to clean up the town just a little bit, and so they were going to start with this kind of a sculpture of Mary and the baby Jesus. And so it was kind of rough looking, and they thought, well, we'll clean it up, make it look a little bit better. It had 7 coats of paint on it. And when they cleaned it up, they found the most prettiest sculpture you could ever see. They were just so enamored. And everybody had walked by it so long and didn't see what it was, because they only saw what was on the outside. They didn't see what was on the inside. And we need to be looking not only at other people and what's on the inside of them, but we need to be looking at ourselves and see what's on the inside of us. Jesus sees something about us that is very important that we need to recognize. And here in chapter 9, starting with verse 35, listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he saw that was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary. Have you ever just saw somebody, you just looked at them, and you could tell they felt worn out? They looked sick. They looked worn out. Well, that's what Jesus sees within these people. But not just this tiredness about the physical body, but he saw the spiritual tiredness within these people, how tired they were. And this is what he said. Then he said this to his disciples, verse 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest," or for his harvest. Jesus saw people that were hurting, not just outwardly. Maybe you see some of these pictures of the little children on television that are starving, and they're asking for money. We see that. We can understand that. But sometimes we need to see really our inside, who we are, who we really are. I remember years ago it used to have this picture of a fella, and he's kind of like me. He's a big old fat boy. And he was just fat, had on a good-looking suit, and he was looking in the mirror, and he said, "What the Lord sees," and he saw a skinny person that didn't have much about them. Because, you see, sometimes we just look at the outward appearance of people, and we don't even look at the inside of us. We look at us, and sometimes we can tell ourselves how wonderful we are. Jesus here saw these people, and he saw them not only hurting, maybe needing food and clothes and all those things, but he saw the spiritual part of these people. He saw who they really were spiritually, and he recognized that they needed help. And so he's saying, we need workers to be able to do this. We need people that can help us to be able to accomplish these things that we need to accomplish. I don't know about you. I like this show, The Pickers, on television. Have y'all seen that? Where these people go out and they go to these farms and they climb over all this junk and looking for stuff, and they'll pull out something and you look at it and Linda doesn't like it. I just got to tell you that. She just doesn't like it. She said, "Are you going to see that again?" And she said, "All they do is get junk," and that's what they get. But they know what kind of junk is really important. And so they'll pull out something. That guy go, "Oh, look at this." And it's worth thousands of dollars. And most of us wouldn't give 50 cents for it. But they know, because they've been trained how to look and see. We see junk. We see rust. We see things that are falling apart. But they see something that can make them money, or something that they desire. What we've got to do is to look and see people, and see and desire to see those people and see them for who they are. And Jesus does that, and he sees people. Now, look at these here. Okay, that's it. Now, I want you to look at these people. Here's Peter. Who was Peter? What did he do? What kind of person was he? What kind of person was this Peter here? Now, I wrote down a few things here about Peter that I want us to just look at for just a little bit. The world saw Peter as a fisherman, an unlearned, ignorant fisherman that sat around and mended his nets. And that's what that passage is talking about. Now, that's what the world saw. They didn't see any potential in the person that was going to stand up one day and preach, as far as we know, the first gospel sermon and have 3,000 people, over 3,000 people, to listen to what he had to say and to change. Nobody could see that. Nobody could understand that at that time. But you see, God saw that in Peter. Jesus saw that in Peter when he said, Peter, come follow me. Leave your nets. Leave them where they are and come and follow me. He saw something in Peter that maybe the world could not even imagine, but Jesus Christ saw it. But not only Peter, we can go on, we can see there that the world looked at Levi. Here was a man who was a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector, a Jewish person working with the Romans in collecting taxes, which should have been, they looked down on him. They didn't care anything about him. They wanted to mistreat him, and if they mistreated him, it was okay to do that. But Jesus saw a faithful minister. He saw a faithful person that would serve God until his life was taken from him. That's what God saw. That's what Jesus saw. That's what all of heaven saw. And you see, the world only saw a hypocritical tax collector. But Jesus saw someone who could serve and would serve. And you know, the next one I think is the Pharisees. And here, Jesus looked at the Pharisees. How did the world look at the Pharisees? Great religious leaders, great dedicated people, people that were going to follow God and do God's will. They were people that were going to live and serve. They were following the ceremonial law, and they tied the mint, anise, and cumin, every little bitty thing. They were going to do that. They wanted to follow every word of that. They took it all literal, and you had to do every bit of it. And I know we've talked before about some of them building these phylacteries, these boxes for scriptures. God wanted people to have the scriptures in their head. They put boxes up there and on their wrist, misunderstanding what God said. He said, put it in your heart. Put it in your life. But here are these Pharisees. How did Jesus look at these people? How did he see them? He called them hypocrites. He called them fools. He helped people to see they're not living as they should. Now, they're teaching good. They're just not living good. He saw through that. He saw through the facade that they painted. He saw through the facade that the Pharisees painted when they'd stand on the busy street corners with their sackcloth and ashes all over them. And they would make those great prayers, looking around, seeing who's looking at them. He saw that. And he knew what that was. And he knew what the kind of people they were. And he was trying to help them to be better people. Woe to you, he says, Matthew 25 and 23 and verse 25. The world saw Saul as a young, enthusiastic Jewish Pharisee who was ready to try to destroy this new thing called Christianity that was leading people away from God. He and the world saw this young man as one that was going to stand up for the truth no matter what it was. But you go to Acts 8 and you see what he did there. He was one that he was able to be introduced to the Lord. He was able to see the error of his way. He was able to change his whole life. Even after that, when some of the Christians, when Saul changed to Paul, went to some of the Christians, they wouldn't even accept him. They wouldn't let him in. It took another fellow to bring him in so that he could be a part of it. They were so afraid of him. They didn't see what God saw. God saw someone there that could preach and teach the gospel, that would have a zeal, that would be able to spread that gospel. He was the light to the Gentile world. Most people, or at least some people, say that Paul was really the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, I think that sounds pretty good. He was one that used his whole life to teach the Gentiles, to help them to see the way that they should go and how that they should live. He was the light there. And we could go on and see here this man and what all he did and how he lived. All right, now, how does the world look at us? How does the world really see us? And that's important. That's something we've got to recognize. How do people see me when they look at me and they look at my life? What do we see when we see other people, when we see them. Now, look at this. Well, all right, there he is. What do we see when we see ourselves? I hope you can pick that out and see what that is. Here's an old woman sitting in a wheelchair. What's on the wall? What's her shadow? A young ballet dancer. Heard a lady say one time, you see this old body? There's a little girl inside. It's not just this outside, it's inside. And sometimes we see ourselves, and sometimes we can see ourselves as somebody that can't do anything, that we can't accomplish anything. We can defeat ourselves before we even start sometimes. And we don't need to do that. We don't need to talk and run ourselves down. We don't need to listen to that. We need to recognize the potential that we have within us. We need to see that. And we got to look at ourselves. Sometimes we blame other people for the life that we are living our own selves, for where we are. Look at yourself and see the potential that you have. It may not be as great as someone else's, but that's okay. You look at what you have and you use what you have and God will bless it. He does it every time. He blesses us when we use what we have. But if we take what we have and we hide it, remember the fellows that were given the amounts of money? 1 10, 1 5, was it 5 or 2? Something like that. Figure it out. And then one was given just one. What did he do with his? Hid it. Jesus said, why didn't you just take that and put it at the bank? Made just a little bit of interest off of it. Why didn't you just do something with it? You see, the Lord wants us to do something with what we have. He doesn't expect you to do what other people are doing. He expects you to do what you can do. That's what you've got to do. And so use yourself. Extend yourself a little bit more. It wasn't but a few months ago that we came up with the idea of using our men here to speak on Wednesday night in a summer series. I told a preacher about that. He said, 13 weeks and the men in the congregation spoke? He said, how many people do you have? I said, we got 125 to 150 according to what Sunday you count. He said, that is something else. I said, yeah, it is. You just don't realize how wonderful that is. And then we've got men that can do that and can speak and do that all the time. I mean, that's a great thing. But I guarantee you, when we first did that, there's a lot of those fellows said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to speak. But they did. And now, it's hard to get some of them to be quiet, isn't it? I mean, it's tough. They fuss at the preacher about preaching over. And some of these guys, I'm telling you, some nights I want to get up and say, you're going to have to hush. It's time to go home. But I know I don't need to do that. I'm not above it, though. I just want to let y'all know about that. But you see, we've got to see our potential, and we've got to use that. Those fellas that were getting up on Wednesday night and speaking, some of them just said, I can't do it. I had some of them to say, I can't speak that long. I said, just speak as long as you can and let us go. I said, preaching's the only job. They pay you more to do less. They like it if you don't do much. And some of those fellas, we have to say, we have to ring a bell and say, it's over. Sit down. But we've got to use, and what we've got to do is to see the potential that we have. We've got to look at ourselves through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And see who we really are and see some things about us. All right, now look at this. How does Jesus see us? How does he look at you and see you? And I think this is important for us to realize this. He sees beyond our weaknesses. In Romans 3 and verse 24, I got it here somewhere. Romans 3 and verse 24. This is what he said. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus Christ sees you as a person that's redeemed? That means you've been bought back from the devil. You've been bought back from Satan. That you belong to God. That's what he's done for you. That's what the way he sees you. You say, wait a minute, I don't always do it all right. None of us are going to. And if we think we do, then we don't understand ourselves. We can't see ourselves right. None of us are perfect. Will Jesus Christ receive us? Yes, He will. He looks down and says, Charles, you're one of my redeemed. Well, but Lord, I did this wrong and I did that wrong. Yes, repent of it, turn from it, and you're my redeemed. That's what He sees. But He sees also the potential that we have within us. He sees that potential that we have as those people that have that redeemed life, that live the right kind of way. He sees that within us. He knows that's a part of us, and we have that. Matthew 11 and verse 28, He says there, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and listen to this, I will give you rest." I want you to know, he's got that for all of us. That's what He wants to give to us. He wants to help us. He wants to benefit us. That's what He wants. And when He sees us, He's seeing people that He can help. He's seeing people that He wants to help. He's seeing people that with His help, we can be a part of heaven. And nobody can keep us from it. And it's not based on how wonderful I am and how great I am. I mean, we've got to understand the reason that we have what we have is because of Jesus Christ. You know, this Bible is important. But this Bible without Jesus Christ is nothing but a law with really out a heart. Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. Without Him, there is no gospel. There is a law that we couldn't keep. It would be like the Old Testament law. Those people there could not keep that law. We can't keep the New Testament law. And there is a New Testament law, contrary to what some people say. And we're under that. And we need to try to follow that as best we can. And we need to try to improve on that. We talked about the crucifixion this morning. And that should help us to see how important it is that we live the Christian life, because look at what He gave up for us. Is there anything that I could say to God, wait a minute now, you're just asking a little too much of me. You know, your son dying on the cross was not as hard as what I'm having to do. It's going to cost me a lot more than it cost your son on the cross. How in the world would you ever say anything like that? I don't think we could say anything like that at all, because we've got that. That's the way He sees us, as those people that are there. He sees us as those that are beyond just the outward appearance, just the outward part of us. He doesn't just look at the outside of us and say, well, you know, Charles is a little fat. He's got gray hair and all that. You know, he can't do this. He's getting older. All that. He doesn't see all that stuff. He sees the potential. Go back in the Old Testament and see some people there. When did Moses really get started with his work? How old was he? Anybody know? 80? Well, he was 40 when he left. 80 when he came back, leading those people out. 80-year-old man. And he's just getting started in his work for God. He's just getting started. So we can't use age as something to keep us from. Well, you know, it's for the young people. Listen, don't you ever, ever, ever say that. You're a child of God. If you're 80 or 90 years old, you don't retire from serving God. You keep on serving God. As long as you've got mind enough to know what you're doing and that you can do something, you keep on serving God. You keep on doing the will of God, no matter what it is. You keep on following God, because that's what God wants us to do. Don't look at the outward appearance, He says. He's telling us, now don't look over here and see the outward appearance of other people and you judge them by the way they are on the outside. Now, if He's going to tell us to do that, don't you think He does that? Don't you think He looks at the inside? I've already mentioned several people that He mentioned that He looked and He saw something that the world could not even imagine that these people were and what kind of potential they had. They had that potential, and He said, I don't look at the outward appearance. Remember when David was going to be chosen and all the brothers were brought in except David? He was out in the field. And the prophet saw one brother there that was a big old strong strapping boy, big old broad shoulders, a smart man, really intelligent. God said, I don't look at what? The outward appearance. He said, don't judge by the box, because the prize inside may be different than you think. You ever opened up a gift and it was wrapped up really, really nice, and when you opened it up, you looked at it and you thought, I don't think this was worth unwrapping. Now, we wouldn't say that, but that's the way we felt. You can put mud in a pretty package and you still got mud, but you can put the most precious things in a package too, and you've got that precious package that's there. Not just the outside, but the inside. That's what God wants us to have. He doesn't judge by just the outward appearances. He looks at what is good in our life and what is great there in our life. He sees just our desire to do what's good. Now, Romans 7, and I want you to read that. Romans 7 is where I think Paul is talking. And he said, there's times when I want to do what's good, but I do what's bad. There's times when I'm trying to do this, and I end up doing that, and I want to do right, and I do wrong, and just the struggle that's going on there. And sometimes we get lost in all of that. Don't get lost in it. What Paul is saying is simply, listen, I'm trying, but I mess up. God's still there. When we mess up, when we sin, He's still there ready to forgive us. He doesn't just, you know, when we sin, He doesn't just walk away and say, I'm tired of him. I am tired of that Thompson boy. He don't do it right. He can't do it right. I don't think he ever can do anything right. He didn't do that. He says, come on over here and I'll help you do. Maybe that's not your thing, Charles. Maybe you need to do something else. And so here, he's got something he wants to do for us. He's got a way to help us. Read Romans 7, if you would, those passages there, and understand those things. We have got to understand that Jesus looks at us with compassion. He looks at us. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus is talking about Jerusalem there. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have just, you killed the prophets, you fought against God, you struggled against God. Did he say, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you? He said, you've done those things. But you know what? I'd love to just take you in. I'd love to do you like a chicken does. When she clucks, she protects her young. She watches over them. She wants them there to be protected. That's what Jesus was saying about those people. That's what he's saying about us. Sometimes preachers have painted a picture of God as someone who is thrilled to condemn people to be lost. That is not a picture of God. That's not a picture. God is ready to forgive. God is ready to cleanse. God is ready to receive. Only on that final day will He say, depart from me. Now He just says, come. Some people say, why does God let the world stand? Why does He allow this world to continue like it is? Listen, I'll tell you what I think it is. He's giving people more time, another opportunity to change their life. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to say, listen, I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another time. I want you to do that. Somebody said, well, why don't He just end this old world? Well, there are people that are lost and He wants them saved. And so He's giving them every moment they can to do what's right and to live right. That's what He wants these people to do. That's what He wants us to do. He sees us in such a great way, and we need to see ourselves that way. We've got to see ourselves that way. We need to see ourselves as those people that God loves, that God wants to care for, that God wants to help. We need to look at other people and not look at just the outward appearance of them. We need to look at every bit of them. We need to look at them as God would look at them. James talks about how there are some people that they come into your services and, oh, they don't have on the beautiful clothes. So what do? Put them in the back. You take the people that have the beautiful clothes, put them up in the front where everybody can see them. A place of position, a place of honor. It even says, be careful that you go up there and sit down in that place of honor and they say, Charles, this is not your seat. This is not your seat. It belongs to Larry. So you go back there and sit in the back. Larry's coming up here. We've got to look at ourselves and see our own selves as people that have potential to do good and do what's right. Don't you ever sell yourself short. Don't ever do that. You can do a lot of things, and God will bless you. In the Old Testament, it talks there about how that God will blow on something, and He'll make it greater. He'll make it better because He puts His stamp on it. He puts His approval on it. He puts His help behind it. Now, what can God do with you? I don't know. He can do a whole lot if we'll allow Him to do that. And the reason we're not doing more is because we're not relying on Him more. We're not trusting in Him more. See the potential you have. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Don't let anybody criticize you into thinking that you can't do anything. You certainly can. And you are. I've mentioned about the little lady that was in the hospital. Told the preacher, I found my work. I found my work. He goes over there. She says, I can lay here in this bed and I can mention every person in the congregation and I can pray for them. Now we look at that and say, well, that's not much. She's not going anywhere. She's not doing a lot. Well, yes, she is. She's praying for people. She's helping people. She's encouraging people. Hadn't you been to people in the nursing home that when you left them, you felt better than when you got there? Now that's potential there. I know some of the people around here that I can go visit them, and let me tell you something. I think I could wrestle a bear when I get through with them. They make you feel so good. We need to do that for other people. Maybe that's ours, to be like a Bartholomew. That's an encourager of other people. Use what you have. Use it for God, because God wants to use you. And He can use you. There's a lot of things you can do. Look at all these people that we talked about, Peter and all these others, that the world looked at them and saw them as nothing. But Jesus saw them as people that were important. He looks down the night and He sees you as someone important. And you need to look at yourself and use what you have for that. We have a song that we're going to sing to encourage you. If you've been discouraged, we want to pray with you and for you. If you